All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. And on today's program, I guess I want to get to a point here. We've lost two well-known Vietnam veterans in the last week. Number one is Marine Drill Sergeant Lee Ermey. And so we all are familiar with him from Full Metal Jacket. And the other is Elliot Storm, or Elliot Trumphauer is his real name. But Elliot Storm was a Marine, passed away last week. He was the writer of a book entitled These Scars Are Sacred, about post-traumatic stress. And so both of them have been on our program, and we both are sorry that they've passed away, and our hopes and prayers and go to their families. So we want to thank them very much for their service, of course. On today's program, we've got a really interesting kind of concept going. We're going to be talking about a local hometown hero here in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti. We're going to be talking about treatment for post-traumatic stress with horses later on in the program. And then on the last segment of the program, we're going to be talking to a gentleman from Kansas City who is building tiny houses for veterans out there called the Veterans Community Project. And we're trying to figure out how we can maybe get that project here in Southeast Michigan. I think it's a great idea. But going right into the beginning of our program, joining me in the studio right now is an old friend of ours who's been on the program before, and is Walter Orline. And Walter, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much, Dale, and thanks for having us on here, and thank you for all you do for veterans all over. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Walter is one of the people that's involved in this DVD that has been put out about, as I mentioned before, our local hometown hero, Bob Arvin. And joining me on the phone right now is the producer and director, I guess you could say, of that program, and that's Brian Krueger. And Brian, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, Dale, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your program, and it's an honor, actually, to be on your program. So thanks a lot for having me.
Well, the Bob Arvin story is a great story. He's from Ypsilanti, Michigan. He went to Ypsilanti High School. He was an Ypsilanti Brave, as Walter reminded me there, when they keep going around in this area changing nicknames and mascots all the time, it seems. But I guess you're once a Brave, always a Brave. My high school, we were Warriors, and they wanted to change ours, too. But I'm going to ask, I guess I'll start with Walter first. Tell us a little bit about Bob Arvin, because let me reintroduce you to our audience. Really, Walter is a West Point graduate, class of 65, and he's been involved in this Bob Arvin story since the very beginning, when it began. Could tell us what you about Bob a little bit.
Well, Bob Arvin, a Ypsilanti native, graduated from high school here in 1961, and he went to West Point, as I did, and I met Bob on our very first day because we were in the same squad. So I was very blessed to have a talent like Bob Arvin be part of our summer training. And so we always knew each other during the 4 years, and Bob rose to be really the number one cadet in our class, and capped by his being named the brigade commander and first captain of West Point's class of 1965. And Bob, of course, served very honorably, and the tragic part, and very tragic part, was his being killed in action in Vietnam after just 2 years out of West Point. And over the years, everybody has honored and revered Bob, and which I was impressed with going on, as Dale and Brian will allude to. The gymnasium at West Point is named in Bob's honor, which was a great thrust by our class. But beyond that, in the community of Ypsilanti, Bob had classmates and wrestling teammates who came forward and wanted to honor him some more locally, and this was done through a scholarship foundation, and that's where we met Dale. And that has been ongoing. It is now concluded, although there's still is a thrust through the Ypsilanti Area Community Foundation to continue to spend, award scholarships in Bob Arvin's name.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on, because people can still contribute to the Ypsilanti Foundation.
Correct.
For this scholarship. And you mentioned earlier, we were talking about, what are the requirements for the scholarship, real quickly?
Well, we base it on what Bob's image and his talent was, the leadership qualities he demonstrated, the athletic prowess, the all-around person, which that was C. Robert Arvin. And young people, when we were awarding the scholarships, had to write and try to give us their background to conform to those objectives.
Okay, so it doesn't mean necessarily that they have to be involved in going to a military school or anything like that. You just want them to meet the characteristics that Bob
That's correct. Life. That's correct. And over the years, we actually never had a scholarship awardee that went to West Point. We did have one that went to the United States Naval Academy, which was great. But we're just happy and pleased to continue to preserve the Bob Arvin legacy for Ypsilanti area high schoolers.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that later on, because with the cost of college today, any scholarship that you can get will help you along. I want to bring Brian back onto the program. Brian, you produced this DVD. Tell us a little bit about Where the Brave Dare to Tread.
Well, how it started was, I was approached a few years ago by some of Bob's Ypsilanti classmates, Tino Lambros, and that group. I think Kirk Prophet got involved. And I was approached shortly after I did a film called Black and Blue, about a University of Michigan athlete who was benched in 34 because he was black, and it was Gerald Ford's story as well. So they approached me and said, "Look, you're from Ipsy, you know, could you make a film?" And we tried to put it together, but it was difficult at the time because I had a couple different projects going on. But I came back to it two years ago, and talked with Walter, met Walter for the first time. I couldn't have made this film without Walter. He opens up every door I've ever needed to have open, and he's just been so gracious, and I've made a wonderful friend, and having somebody from my class in 65 has been great. So, Walter and I talked, and I said, "Walter, I'm just going to do this because some of these guys, are getting a little bit older, and if we're going to do it, let's do it now so we can get some firsthand interviews." So I put together a list. His wife, Mary Lynn Montagna, who's also an Ypsilanti native, we met at Ypsilanti High School, and some of the West Point guys, and Walter got me to West Point. We shot a lot of interviews and put the film together. And you can find it on bobarvin.org or stunt3.com. Mm-hmm. But what's been cool about this is since the movie came out, documentaries are interesting. I've made 9 feature-length documentaries with my friend Buddy Morehouse. But if you're like me, people love watching documentaries, but not very many people like to buy them. So we came up with a way over the years to make sure that people got to see them. And the most important audience has been public libraries. So we get donations to put them into public libraries. And the Bob Arvin film was put into all 401 public libraries through a gift from the SANE Foundation about 6 months ago. And now we're in an effort to put the film in every high school, because we think that Bob Arvin's story is inspirational. And every high school student could glean something from that, how he was a leader, not just an academic leader, but also a state wrestling champion, a football quarterback, captain of the debate team, valedictorian. Then he goes to West Point and becomes their top cadet. So his story resonated huge with me. I think we got it all on film. I know we did. And it's been shown at West Point. It's been shown in Ypsilanti. We haven't had a public viewing yet in Ypsilanti. I'd like to do that soon. But so before Memorial Day, we would like to get this, now that we've completed the library campaign, we want to get this into every high school. And your viewers out there can actually help. We're trying to raise $19,000 to do this, and we're about a quarter of the way there, more than a quarter of the way there. And if they go to bobarvin.org and find the menu item that says GoFundMe, they can make a donation of any size. to get that into high schools. And our goal is to get it in all 1,534 public high schools in the state of Michigan by Memorial Day. Memorial Day is our break on that. So, you know, give or take a few days, but that's what we want to do. And we think that's a loving tribute and an honorable tribute to Bob Arvin.
I think it's a great tribute because, as you mentioned, I mean, this is just a hometown guy who made good, and unfortunately life was cut short doing what he was trained to do. And I was thinking, because we here at Veterans Radio, we try to get involved with a lot of different school projects around here, and I was telling Walter that we are working on a book now with our local Medal of Honor recipient, Charlie Kettles.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, and that's something that we want to get into all the local schools, because we were working with a teacher's history teacher over at Pioneer High School here, and he said that he doesn't have, you know, they don't have that much time to cover it, because unfortunately the Vietnam War now is kind of in the World War II realm, like when we were in high school, and I just barely got to it. And so they love the idea of having these DVDs and the stories of local people that can, you know, that do serve as, I believe, as an inspiration to local students.
Well, what we also did with that, I was a high school teacher, and ironically, I guess, or coincidentally, I taught at Ypsilanti High School. I was also a student at Ypsilanti Schools, but I was a teacher at Bob's High School long after he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So for this particular donation, and I've done this with a few of my other films, it's an educational version of the film. So it's the film, and it's also accompanied with study guides and lesson plans for the teachers. So if they're not familiar with the story, they can read up on it quickly that night and do a lesson on it that day, a lesson in courage, friendship, perseverance, or they can, you know, run it out for a few days. And I've had a lot of teachers tell me that their resources are so limited nowadays because of school funding,
right,
that getting gifts like this, they really appreciate it, because it really helps them to tell good stories, especially in lieu of everything you've seen happen in public schools in the last few years, the tragedies and stuff. I think this lesson needs to be told, that there's, you know, you can do the right thing and you can follow a good example,
mm-hmm,
and maybe the best example. So we're proud to put this effort forward, and we just need some help to get us to the finish line on it.
Well, we're going to certainly do everything we can to get you to that finish line. I want to talk a little bit more about Bob Arvin here, if I can, with Walter. You mentioned that you were in his squad at West Point. And it kind of let our audience know a little bit about his reputation there. I mean, first of all, if you have a reputation like he does to get a gymnasium named after him, or a whole complex named after him, that's pretty amazing right there. How would you describe Bob if you were to introduce him to somebody?
Well, the first squad, when you're assigned to that unit, then you begin your training and subsequent training, and then you are recognized by your peers, and through the activities we had, like in our second year of training, there was a Rakondo Ranger aspect, and Bob was the king of that particular activity, a king of the pit in name, and all of his activity. I mean, he helped so many of us that weren't as skilled, and his responses to everything just stood out right away. And he was a good student, and as a wrestler, he became the captain of the wrestling team his senior year, and he was the stalwart of a great program, and competing against Navy, Brian is just now scheduled to even interview one of his great teammates, mm-hmm, for possibly this educational thrust. And one other, before I forget, since you mentioned Lieutenant Colonel Chuck Kettles, Brian, why don't you mention your interview with Colonel Kettles, and where that will also fit in eventually our documentary.
Yeah, so during the filming of or the production of this film, I had the privilege to interview Mr. Kettles, and so we're going to include that interview and highlights of that interview on the Bob Arvin film that's going to high school. So, mm-hmm, his story and Bob's story will be at at high schools for a long time. And not only are they getting the DVD, but they're also getting an electronic download, because the DVDs are starting to kind of go by the wayside too. They're probably only around for another 10 years, but
yeah,
so we give them an electronic way to stream it as well.
And I'd like to add, you know, and from Bob's standpoint, I mean, the when you're the first captain and brigade commander, that means you're involved with every dignitary that visits West Point. Bob Arvin was the leader of the parades at the inaugural ceremonies for President Johnson. He led the entire Corps of Cadets, or when you march in to the Army-Navy game in our case in Philadelphia and Municipal Stadium, which became JFK Stadium. So he was always out in front.
Yeah, also for the inauguration. Yeah, Johnson's inauguration. That was an Ipsy boy leading that whole parade. So we're very excited about that and proud of that.
Well, I'm just reading off the website, you know, as you mentioned, BobArvin.org. It's ARVIN. It's got great information here. There's a wonderful story about him, you know, not only all of his experiences at Ypsilanti High School, which I think is fascinating on the local level, but also it talks about what he did when he was in Vietnam in 1967, and he was awarded a Silver Star in addition to a Purple Heart. Silver Stars are not easy to get.
And he has two.
Yeah. They'll probably bump him up at some point, which would be interesting. That's another cause another cause we could look at. But I think the idea of what this hometown boy did with his life and the example that he would set, Brian, as you pointed out, to just let these people, you know, these younger kids today, to see that just an ordinary, you know, high school kid, well, not really ordinary, but probably an extraordinary, you know, went on to make good. And and people, you know, are emulating him, and there are things that we, you know, the abilities and the skills and the, I don't know, just the life lessons that you probably will get from watching this DVD.
I think you're exactly right, Dale, about any young boy or young man or young woman can watch this, and they don't have to be. I mean, Bob was quite ordinary. He was just very dedicated. He always seemed to do the right thing. And I think if students take that model, and teachers can actually show that in classroom, go, look, you know, if you're just always looking out for the other guy and always striving to do your best, you know, you can really achieve great things. And that's really the message we want to get out to these schools and these students.
And at the scholarship evenings we had, I heard quite a few times where the awardees and recipients would say, I wish I had met and known Captain Bob Arvin.
Well,
it made an impression.
It's the type of man that you would want to meet at some point in your lives. And not to take anything away from, but, you know, many of us during our military careers ran into people that had the characteristics and much like Bob. And I think the idea of getting the word out that I think it's a good idea. That's all I can say. I think it's a really good
Dale,
idea.
Well, Dale, I'm the only civilian here in this interview, and I'll tell you one thing. I told this to Walter when I first started making this film. Once I started meeting the enlisted men that I met, the West Point officers that I met, the West Point veterans, I started telling them I could have made this movie about 100 of these people, enlisted and the Academy guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was humbled, and I still am. I'm very humbled to make this film, and it really opened my eyes and really made me feel that I need to make sure that more and more kids today can see this, because I think they just forget. They don't forget. I don't think they've ever been taught, and they need to see this. They need to see what people like Bob Arvin can do with, you know, those kind of characteristics.
And the thing is that, you know, that Bob is Bob Arvin is permanently whatever age he was when he died.
You know, 24, yeah.
You know, 24. Only 24 years old. You know, most of us think, you know, we're 24 in our minds. Our bodies don't agree all the time anymore.
Right.
But I think that when people see this, and I'm anxious, Walter was nice enough to give me a copy today, so I'm anxious to go home and watch that myself and see how it will work out. So let's go back and talk about what we've got a GoFundMe account. What is that, the purpose of that?
So the GoFundMe account is to raise money to put a copy of the film into every public high school in the state of Michigan. If somebody donates to the cause, we'll send them, and it's on the website, I believe it's a donation of $50 or more, we'll send them the DVD. And if it's $100 more, we'll send them a movie poster as well. So they get the film. They can also just go buy the film as well. And you can see at bobarvin.org, too, at the bottom of every page, they can simply order that film if they just want to buy the film and see it.
Okay.
Like I said, we got it into all 401 public libraries. Now we want to get it into all 1,534 public high schools. And we want to do that by Memorial Day. So we're really trying to push that effort forward right now.
Okay. I think we need to do that, and I think we need to schedule a showing here in the Ypsilanti area before Memorial Day.
That would be great. That would be great.
So we can get the local people to find out, because Ypsilanti has it doesn't have the best reputation, and it should. I think that those people, they need to know that people have come from Ypsilanti that have made it well and became famous.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's something we can do. All right, so the story is all about Bob Arvin, 1961 grad of Ypsilanti High School. He's a Ypsilanti Brave. He was an all-state wrestler. He was a president of his class, and he set his sights on going to West Point, and I think that's a great opportunity for them. Brigade commander. Oh, I know. My question to brigade commander, is that chosen by the instructors or is that chosen by the
cadets?
Well,
it is chosen by the staff, the senior staff at West Point, but with input from all cadets. You're rated by your peers. And, mm-hmm. and so there's always there are prior activity, like in your junior and sophomore years, you head up different things. But then it gets screened down and that's announced in the summer of your senior year. So okay. He was selected. General Lampert was our superintendent. General Westmoreland, who's in the documentary, was our superintendent the first few years and is also mentioned with an Arvin connection in the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing that people should know is that after Captain Arvin was killed, he is buried at West Point.
That's correct, yeah. And there is some footage on that. And at the screening we had at West Point, we had a very nice and poignant moment in reflection with Bob's widow and his brother David, who also grew up in Ypsilanti, is now in Colorado, and other classmates. And we were able to, there was a new headstone that his widow Mary Lynn Brondos provided, mm-hmm. and so it wrapped up a very meaningful day.
Well, I hope that we can help you out and maybe help you raise some money for your GoFundMe account to get this documentary in every library and every school in the state of Michigan. I think it's a great idea to get all these stories out there about these Michigan veterans, because as you pointed out, Brian, most of these kids don't, it's not that they don't know, it's just that they haven't had the opportunity to learn about it.
I agree.
And,
okay.
As we always say here on our program, we try to get these interviews in so we can get the stories before somebody messes them up. And, we want
right.
to get it, we want to get them from the, straight from the horse's mouth as much as we possibly can. So the documentary is Where the Brave Dare to Tread. The website is bobarvin.org. You can go right on that website. You can click on the GoFundMe. We need to raise some money, folks, so we can distribute these to all of the different schools in the area. I notice here, as I'm reading here, that there's a bonus interview with Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles, a good friend of Veterans Radio. And so we encourage you to do that. And when we find out where the showing or the screening is going to be, we'll make sure we get that word out to our audience and help you make your goal.
Right. Thanks a lot, Dale. Really appreciate that.
And thank you. The main part's been done. We'll keep marching, and the Army goes rolling along. Thank you very much.
As they say, the Army goes rolling along. All right. Well, Brian, I want to give your company a little plug here. It's Stunt 3 Multimedia. You're in. Mm-hmm. You are a Michigan company.
Yep. That's right. And our website is stunt3.com, and you can see some of the other films we've done. We've done some local stuff, a film about an Ypsilanti girl, the first girl to play Little League Baseball, as well as the Gerald Ford film, Lois mm-hmm. Ford film, and you can see all of them out there. So, yeah, if you're surfing around the web, take a look at stunt3.com as well.
All right. Well, Brian Kruger, thank you very much. We'll need to talk to you. We've got a couple of video projects that we have in mind ourselves.
Great.
So we want to get in touch with you. Walter, thank you very much for being on the program again. We want you to stay tuned for the second half of Veterans Radio today. We're going to be talking with two people. One is about horses and how horses affect the treatment. They're comfort animals and so forth for veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress. I think you'll find that rather interesting. And in the last part of the program, we will be talking with the veterans Veterans Community Project out in Kansas City about making tiny houses for veterans out there. And we think this is something that maybe we can move into this area. So we're going to, I think we've got about a minute to go, right? I'm getting the high sign over there. Let me just briefly mention, we were not able to connect with an organization that is providing, there's a partnership called Kaboom, and the CarMax Foundation is helping to provide or build 33 playgrounds and provide grants to build playgrounds on military bases around the country. And I'm sorry we weren't able to get that. We'll have them on next week to talk about the project. But it's a playful city. CarMax Foundation supports Kaboom in ensuring that all kids get the play that they all need to thrive and to participate in. And so that will be coming up next week on Veterans Radio. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come around the other side, we want you to pay attention. Listen up. I'm going to help you out, guys. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back on Veterans Radio, and my name is Dale Thronberry, a Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969. We are waiting for a phone call from one of two guests, so it's going to be one of those things that looks like today where things aren't going as quite as smoothly as they could. I wanted again to remind you that, you know, that in the last part of the program we were talking about the Bob Arvin here locally in Ypsilanti. So make sure that you go to the bobarvin.org website and you can find out information about the DVD that talks about this amazing young man that it's a local boy and who, you know, who did well and unfortunately was cut down in Vietnam at the age of 24 years old. But, you know, his story keeps going on and on and on, and I think that's wonderful. There's a lot of people like that around here in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area, and I think that it's important to let you know, you know, what we're up to here at WAAM and talking to our audience. And what we're doing locally is we're trying to collect veteran stories, and I'm just want to let you know about this stuff. And for anybody who was in Vietnam at any point, whether you were actually in the country, if you were a Blue Water, if you were in the service during the Vietnam era, we want to talk to you because we're trying to gather up all these stories, much like they're doing with the Bob Arvin story on DVD. Ours is we're putting together a book with the help of Lieutenant Colonel Kettles and a number of other people here in the local area. And so we're trying to gather up stories. You know, what was your service like when you were in Vietnam? What happened while you were there or when you were at home and so forth? And when this is something that we want to distribute here to the local schools as well as, you know, what they're doing with the Bob Arvin story. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see what we can come up with. We've got pilots, of course, in there. We've got nurses. We've got radio men. We've got Navy people. We've got CBs. We've got jet pilots, everything that you can imagine. and we still want to have your story if possible. And since we're waiting for a guest, hey, if you'd like to give me a call, it'd be great, because the number here is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. And be happy to bring you on and see what we can do to help you out. And tell your story. I mean, it's so important that we're becoming more and more aware, or at least I am, I'm finding as I get older, that how important it is to tell your story, not just to your family, because, you know, many times the family only wants to hear it once. But there are a lot of kids out there that would love to hear these stories. And if you get involved with one of these veterans organizations, we go to a lot of different high schools, we go to different presentations, we go to senior citizens places, and they're interested in talking to you just as well. And so we've got somebody on the line. All right, we're going to go straight to him. All right. So I'm done filling right now. We've all heard a lot about these, different types of therapies for veterans out there. You know, service dogs and yoga and just about anything that you can imagine. Well, you know, we did a program a couple of years ago about horses, and so we're going to continue that today. And joining me on the line right now is Stephen Panis. And Stephen, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Trust me. all right. So tell me how you got involved in this. We know that the numbers are just terrible with veteran suicides, and that animals seem to have a sense sometimes when people need some sort of help. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, certainly. So first off, I work for America's Best Racing, which is a multimedia initiative designed to bring more attention to the sport of thoroughbred racing. And we took a look at some programs that use retired racehorses as in equine therapy, and we started looking at the programs and seeing the success stories anecdotally of the programs, and then looked at other programs using other breeds, and we decided this is an awesome, obviously an awesome project dealing with a serious critical issue that needed more awareness. So we sent a film crew out to do a story on it, and we focused on three different programs to deal with retired racehorses, and the other one is a program out in Montana that deals with rescued Mustangs. That's fantastic. And again, it's all designed to connect the horse and the human in a therapeutic manner. And the film series comes out this coming April 30th, the week of April 30th, Monday. The first episode focuses on a group up in upstate New York called Squirrelwood Equine Sanctuary. The second part comes out May 2nd, and it focuses on the Man of War Project at Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, and that's more of the scientific quest to prove this treatment. And then, as I mentioned, the final and third edition deals with this group, Heroes and Horses Out West, led by Micah Fink.
Well, each one of these programs sounds really incredible to me. It's the idea of let's look at them in a, like, I'm sorry, I'm stuttering today. I can't figure it out. Where can people see these?
Sure. So they're going to be available at our website, americasbestracing.net. They're each about 8 minutes long. It's a docuseries, digital docuseries. They'll also be available on our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and NBCSports.com's horse racing page.
Oh, okay. All right. So there'll be plenty of opportunity to see these documentaries. Talk about the Man of War Project, number one, at Columbia.
Sure. So the Man of War Project is founded and spearheaded by Ambassador Earl Mack. He's the former ambassador to Finland under George W. Bush. He's a successful entrepreneur, thoroughbred racehorse owner, and he's also a veteran of the Army himself. And he noticed that there was a lot of these programs using animals, horses, and retired thoroughbreds in particular, that we're producing a lot of anecdotal evidence that this therapy works as an alternative therapy for our veterans. And he wanted to prove it scientifically. So he aligned himself with some of the brightest, smartest minds in the world at Columbia University Irving Medical Center and challenged them to run a pilot program and case studies and prove it scientifically. And they are nearly two-thirds complete of their case studies. They've got pilot programs and programs running at Bergen Equestrian Center in Leonia, New Jersey. And they're very confident and optimistic and hopeful that when they're soon done with their studies, that they're going to be able to submit a case for peer review that's going to prove the scientific efficacy of equine-assisted therapy is not only a treatment for our veterans, but perhaps one of the best treatments available out there for our veterans.
I know there's an organization in, I think it's Northwest Chicago, somewhere out in there, that is working with horses as well. And they've came up with pretty amazing results that, for whatever reason, the horses make the veteran feel calmer, and they seem to know when the veteran needs a nudge. You know, unless they're huge.
Well said. I mean, look, horses are very much in the moment. They are prey animals. They're naturally skittish. Thoroughbreds in particular are very hypervigilant. So they present an opportunity for the veterans to recognize and understand fear responses, emotional regulation. Horses are naturally sensitive to verbal and nonverbal cues. Thus, they provide good feedback for the veterans on how they are communicating. And these lessons that the veterans partake in working with these horses teach them not only how to deal with themselves, but also how to obviously deal with their family, how to deal with work situations, a variety of communication in everyday situations that perhaps they sometimes struggle with because of the PTSD syndromes. It's incredibly powerful. I saw it at work at the Squirrelwood Equine Sanctuary in upstate New York. We interviewed several veterans that went through the program, and we interviewed the therapist, and it was profound to see how far they had come along, where they started in the program to where they are today, how passionately they speak about the work. Most of them had never been around horses in their life, and yet they connected in a way that was sometimes, words could describe it, and other times there aren't words to describe it. It's that powerful. It gives both the veterans and, in often cases, the thoroughbreds who are done with their racing career renewed purpose in life, and we all need purpose in life. And coincidentally, that's the title of our film series is Purpose. Okay. When horses heal.
All right, I think it's a great concept, and I wanted to ask you real quick. We're coming up. I'm going to take a quick little break here in a minute, but I wanted to talk about the heroes and horses. The last one where they use horse pack trips for veterans, where you take them out in the wild.
Yeah, so this is definitely a very unconventional and innovative program. It's led by an ex-Navy SEAL named Micah Fink. He's an incredible character. I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing Micah. He's one of a kind, and certainly someone that's making a big difference. He looks at this problem in a much different light than a lot of the other programs. He basically feels that the answers that the veterans are looking for are all within themselves, and they don't need to look outside. They don't maybe need talk therapy or other forms of different therapy. So what he does is he tries to recreate high intensive situations that they usually were in combat, that a lot of these guys tend to thrive on. They need those adrenaline rushes. So he takes them on a 40-day trek, again, using rescued Mustangs. These are horses that were just recently, in most cases, broken. And they need to navigate not just the wilderness of remote Montana, but they also need to navigate the connection of dealing with a horse horse that they just met, a horse that they try to match up personality-wise so it brings out the best in the veteran. It's called their tagline is it's not a vacation. It's the hardest 40 days they'll go through. But they've had an incredibly successful graduation rate. They're about to have a class embark this summer. I think a class of upwards of 25 combat veterans go through the summer course at Heroes and Horses. It's an amazing program, a different approach, but yet similar powerful results. When the veterans are done, they've learned that a lot of, again, what might contest that they'll learn is that all the answers that they've been looking for from others are actually all within themselves, and they just needed the horse in the remote wilderness maybe to pull it out of them.
I think it's a great story, and the idea of what these people can do, any type of treatment, anything that, that helps a veteran figure out how to, you know, get back into civilian life without all the nightmares and everything that goes along with sometimes when you, you know, when you are in combat, then, you know, how you can control those things. You know, they never go away, but I think that, like, the idea of the horse sounds really interesting to me.
It's well said. You know, because they're not trying, none of these programs are trying to erase memories of what happened, because what happened is what happened, and it's always going to be there, but it's how they can use it moving forward in a positive, healthy manner. And I think using the horse, and you're right, these are powerful stories, and, you know, the old adage, a picture says a thousand or speaks a thousand words. These videos are going to move a lot of people, hopefully move them to seek the help that they need in the cases of veterans, or hopefully in the bigger picture, the Man of War Project, if proven, will obviously open the floodgates for federal funding to, for a lot of these programs that are doing the work around the country.
All right. That's for sure. So tell me, review for us where these films are going to be shown and how people can get access to them.
Sure. So again, episode one, Squirrelwood Equine Sanctuary, located in upstate New York, Montgomery, New York, along the Hudson, will release on Monday, April 30th. I think it's 11 a.m. at, or midday, let's just say, at americasbestracing.net. That's www.americasbestracing.net. On Wednesday, May 2nd, the second of the series, the docuseries, will release, and that's focused on the Man of War Project at Columbia University Irving Medical Center. And again, that's available at americasbestracing.net, our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and also NBCSports.com. And then the final edition, Heroes and Horses, on the eve of the Kentucky Derby, Friday, May 4th, that will release again, americasbestracing.net.
Okay, so we got April 30th, the 2nd, and the 4th.
You got it.
For all of those. Wow, I'm excited. I think this is a great opportunity for people. You know, any option that works is great. And, you know, there are people that respond well to humans, and there are people that respond well to animals, and obviously there are people that respond well to horses. And I want to thank you for putting together these programs and letting us know about them.
Definitely, and thank you very much for helping us get the word out. We hope everyone gets a chance to see these powerful videos and share them with those that need it, or those that may not know yet that they need it. They're great programs and doing great work. And there's more. There's obviously others out there. We could only focus on three for the series, and these are the three we chose. But there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great work across the country. And if we can just get the message out further, I think, and help our veterans who certainly need it, and more importantly, who deserve it.
Well, again, thank you very much, Stephen Panis. How did you get, again, review for me, how you got involved with this?
We learned of Ambassador Earl Mack's program, and I thought it was the most fascinating thing, because when I heard the numbers, I was beyond disturbed. You know, 20 veterans a day committing suicide.
Right.
That's an awful number, and I think if we did nothing more than get that number out to the larger America, so that people learn that there is this critical issue and that they need our help. And like I said, they deserve our help. Everything that they do, we owe it to them to do a much better job of helping them reacclimate when they come back after serving our country. And so when I heard the story, I immediately started investigating the Man of War Project, learned about their scientific quest, thought it was super cool, then got in touch with some programs that were doing it and had the anecdotal evidence. And again, the one in upstate New York is interesting and neat. And then obviously Micah Fink is a star unto himself in what he's doing out west. Different approaches, all the same results, helping our veterans.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen, for this information. And I want to post it up on our website if we can, so people can find out other things. And it doesn't just apply to veterans, folks. These are treatments that can help anybody who's been through some sort of cataclysmic event or some sort of catastrophic event that has traumatized you. So check these things out. I think you'll find them interesting. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, another phone call hasn't come through quite yet, but I'm going to talk about the Veterans Community Project anyway. So let me go to their website. I found this really fascinating. What they're doing out there, this is in Kansas City. It's called the Veterans Community Project, and they are building tiny homes. Now, for those of you that watch HGTV and some of the other channels out there, they're very small. They're only about 800 square feet. But what they're doing is that these people in the Veterans Community Project and the guest that we were looking for, who hasn't called us back yet, is the CEO, Chris Stout. So hopefully, Chris, if you'll hear us, give us a call. So it says it's on a mission to eliminate veteran homelessness by providing transitional housing and enabling access to exceptional 360-degree service solutions. It started off in Kansas City, as I mentioned. The Veteran Community Project is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation that was founded by veterans to help veterans. And one of the reasons that they founded it was that they were frustrated, but it seems like the rampant homelessness throughout the veteran community. And I think that this is something that they can... that they feel that they could really help out with. And so if we look at what some of their services are, they have acquired this plot of land outside of Kansas City. And what they want to do, and what I think is really kind of cool, is that they are building a village of these little tiny homes. And I think they started off with 30 of them, and they're going to add some more. But in addition to the housing that they can provide. And each house has it's kind of an open concept studio type of apartment for you. Is that it? And it has a bathroom in there, and it has a small kitchen, and so you're self sufficient in there. And but they're also offering services for the veterans that are living in their community at the time. There are mental health services, there are health services for you, and also some job training and so forth. So it just seems like it's a really kind of an interesting organization that I think people should really be involved with. And think about it in your local area. This is a project that they want to take across the country, and I think it's something that we can really look at. And I'm trying to find some more information here to help out. I've got their mission there. So let's see, what else, what do these houses look like here? The website for this is veteranscommunityproject.org, and it's got a lot of great pictures and things, as I said, what their mission is, and donate and volunteer and how you go about working with them. They're always looking for volunteers to build these houses. And I always thought that, you know, somewhere around Detroit in Southeast Michigan would be a great opportunity with what's, you know, the rebuilding that is going on in the Detroit area. And I know that there's a lot of vacant land that is out there that might be able to help out. And, you know, this organization, well, let me go there. Frequently asked questions. How's that? There we go. All right. Do the veterans own the homes? No. The homes are transitional. The idea is to get people ready to go back into the community and help them out. How long can a veteran stay in the village? It says that they're to meet their needs. They can stay, if they continue to make progress in a program, they can stay there as long as they want to, which is kind of good. The homes themselves are only only 240 square feet. It's got a concrete foundation, meets all the coding requirements, and it's connected to, as I said, to water, electric, and city sewer. So that's kind of neat. How many homes are they trying to build? Well, right now they're trying to put up 50 houses on the property, and they're going to be built in phases of 10 to allow the Veterans Community Project to adjust their social services so that they can treat their residents there. I think that's, again, they're trying to really think this whole thing out. They're allowed to have their pets if they have a service dog or anything along those lines. I don't know about horses, though. That might not be acceptable in this particular thing. But, yes, they do believe that an animal plays an important role in their recovery and therapy. There is really no application process, so if you're in the Kansas City area, you just contact the Veterans Community Project. Social services that are offered, it says they will complement, not compete with existing services. They want to work with veteran advocacy outreach services, identification issues, financial counseling, discharge upgrades, disability planning. Because many times the homeless veterans do not have access to somebody like Legal Help for Veterans or your local a veteran service officer, so they're going to help you file your claims. They are mental and physical health services, substance abuse treatment, independent living skills, gardening classes, cooking classes. Wow, they got everything here. Veterinarian services, transition services. I think this is something that you should look into, folks. Again, the website is veteranscommunity.org. project.org. The phone number, I'm going to give you that too, since they didn't answer ours, but maybe they'll answer yours. We hope so. It's Sunday out there. Is 816-599-6503. And if you want more information, you can go to info@vcp-kc.org. That's info@vcp-kc.org. And, you know, again, it just sounds like a really good project. That's something that we can support. And maybe it's something that can spread around the country. You know, we've got a lot of homeless veterans out there, and I think it's important that we take care of our own, the tiny houses. I read an article this morning. I can't remember which paper it was in. But they're making houses out of these 3D printers. Let that pause for effect. They're making houses, one-story houses, completely out of these 3D printers, and they cost about $4,000 to build, and they are about the same size as these. They're about 300, 400 square feet, but they've got all the necessities in there. And, you know, why can't we do this? Why can't we take care of our own? With the way that the VA is going through their issues again right now, and, you know, trying to get a new director, trying to figure out what direction they're going in, don't know if Congress is going to fund the VA enough. Are they going to go to private health care? I don't know. I hope not entirely, but, you know, who knows? I think that we as a veteran community have to figure out a way to take care of our own, and I think that some of these projects like this Veterans Community Project is one, looking into providing housing for veterans, especially in the urban areas. It can't be a bad thing, right? That's our job. You know, we had your back when you were in service, and we've got your back again, and we want to make sure that you're taken care of. So next week, actually, on our program next week, we are going to be talking about some of these things that are going on at the VA. We're going to be looking at some rules that have changed in filing your disability claims or your appeal for your disability claim if it was turned down. Make sure you tune in next week, because we're going to answer any questions that we get on that. We've got Michael Smith from the local Veterans Service Office here in Washtenaw County. We've got retired General Caroline Fasson is going to be on. And we're also going to have a couple of other representatives from Legal Help for Veterans to answer your questions. Come on, it's a pretty complicated system to get through, and we want to make sure that you can get through it on an easier basis. So if you have a question for us for next week, go to our website, veteransradio.net, click on Contact Us. Put your question in there. Feel free to send me an email. That's Dale@VeteransRadio, and I'd be happy to forward it on to the powers that I know of, and maybe we can get your questions answered. So we're going to take a week off for a while, and I'm going to track down all these people that didn't call me today that were supposed to. So until next week, this is Veterans Radio, and you are dismissed.